Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm just going to take a minute here and do a little housekeeping, get my stuff set up. So bear with me. I'll tell you what, it's always wonderful to be able to get outside and to be able to have this blue sky above us. We live in one of the most amazing places in the world. And the sun, or the blue sky, is always so encouraging to me. It always wakes me up, gets me going. We love the rain too, but anyway, what that does is that leads us into what the word I have today, I believe the Lord has for all of us, definitely for me. So I'm going to share it with you, and hopefully it'll touch you as well. Today we're going to be reading from Psalm 118. And Psalm 118, verse 24, is actually a verse that means an awful lot to me. Maybe you all know it. Maybe you've said it before. Maybe you've heard me say it before. But it is becoming more and more real every day. And it reads, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Now, many times we say that flippantly, we say that as a sense of encouragement, we could say it as a sense of celebration, but what I want to do today is really just break it down. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. But this particular passage of Psalms is believed to have been written by King David. There are several sections of Psalms that may or may not, but they believe that this was written by King David himself as a celebration after God had taken them through some pretty amazing things. And today I wanted to focus in particular to the last eight words of that verse. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We, when we celebrate together, we are together. Where two or more are gathered, he is in his midst. He is in the midst, isn't that right? Christ is in the midst. That's why we're encouraged to join hands and pray, to grab another partner. Hey, let's pray together, because we're two or more are gathered. And of course, in order to have a we, it first has to start with I. So I have decided. I have decided to do this. I have decided to turn to the Lord. I have decided to worship. I've decided to follow Jesus. Only you are the only person that has that control. You can't control those around you. You can't control your spouse. You can't control your kids. You can't control your boss at work. You can't control that person in front of you that won't make the right turn in traffic. And it's, isn't that right? It's legal to make a right turn unless otherwise posted. I just had to say that. But it is, all right? That's right. Don't forget to say that. There we go. But we can't control that. But what we can control is our attitude and how we're going to respond to them. And are we going to let that defeat us, or are we going to be able to push on? I will. Will in this verse is actually an action verb. It's a statement. It's expressing ability or capacity. I will. We will rejoice and be glad in it. In Joshua 24:14, Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It was a choice. It was a statement. In Revelation 3:20, the Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." It's a statement. I will. It's an action. Come in to him, and he with me. I will come in to him, and he with me. You can have fellowship with God just by opening the door of your heart. God will knock. Christ will knock. He will say, he's always there, but we have to be willing to open the door to him. Isn't that right? Will is also a noun. I have an English teaching here this morning. a refresher for me. What's a noun and what's a verb? As a noun, it is intention. It is a fixed desire. Genesis 2:16 says, "And the Lord commanded the man, saying, that he can eat of every tree in the garden, he can freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil he shall not eat, and if he will, he will surely die." Notice that when God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he did not put angels with flaming swords to protect them or to stop them from eating of the garden of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It was their choice. It was their choice. God allowed them to have a choice of whether they're going to choose right or whether they're going to do wrong. And because we're free to do that, we have the choice to whether to choose to backbite or to be gossiping or to harbor unforgiveness or resentment. All those terrible things that just seem to eat at us day after day, week after week. We can do that, but it's not healthy. It doesn't help us. We're the ones that loses by doing that. So here's the question. Are we going to choose to gripe and moan about things that we're going through today? Or are we going to rejoice and be glad in it? This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We will rejoice. Joy does happen spontaneously. Sometimes, however, you need to choose to rejoice. You need to get it in the attitude of joy. You need to invite joy to be our strength. Isn't that right? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Look at these couple of words. Rebound. It would mean to bounce back. Rebound. Restore. Essentially is to rebuild it, to restore it, to make it like new, to rebuild. Again, to make it like new. To reboot. How about our computers? We need to reboot sometimes. That means that the boot was there, but we got to get it back. So anyway, we got to reboot. Satan would like to steal our joy. Isn't that right?
Yes.
But we have to remind ourselves that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and we need to keep going back to Him. We will rejoice. We will be glad. We will rejoice and we will be glad. The funny thing about this is that it's basically glad and joy. They're very similar. It's kind of like a BOGO. You buy one, get one free. You've got to have both. Rejoice and be glad. However, Webster's Dictionary defines gladness as experiencing pleasure, joy, delight, making happy, causing happiness and joy. Whenever Christ or whenever the Bible says things two times or in multiple concession or multiple succession, thank you. It usually means that you need to pay extra attention to it. In Philippians 4:4, King James Version says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Maybe you're glad today. Maybe you're feeling that joy. Maybe you're feeling that excitement that things are going all right. But maybe there's folks around you that aren't. Do you care enough to encourage them? Do you care enough to reach out to them? We need to encourage those folks around us to find the gladness that is only found through salvation in Christ. Isn't that right? Thank you, Lord. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. What is it? It is this day. No matter what you're going through in life, this is the day that the Lord hath made. And I'm here to remind you that God is in control. Isn't that right? Sometimes we need those reminders when everything is falling down around us. It's like, God, nothing's in control. Everything's out of control. But it's in those times that we have to step back and just know that God is in control and He is working a plan in our lives. We We have to make the choice that we don't care what is happening, whether our bills are piling up, or whether a doctor is telling us a bad report, or our spouse is upset at us, or we don't have a spouse, or no matter what, we need to rejoice and be glad in it. Psalms 118, if we look at the verses before this, the leading up to it, Psalms 118, 21 says, I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. There's only one way to be saved. It's through Christ. Isn't that right? Thank you, Lord. We've already talked about that this morning. Verse 22 says, the stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone. The wonderful thing about this is in Psalms, many, many, many years before Christ was born. But Christ is the chief cornerstone of our salvation. He's the chief cornerstone. And yet it was referenced so many years prior in Psalms. I find that amazing. Anytime that the Bible is consistent, anytime we can see the true consistency all the way through, it's like, thank you, Lord. Over thousands of years, different writers, he is consistent in his word. Verse 23, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. David was saying a celebration at that point. And then verse 24, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The verse today is really about Christ, as really the whole Bible is. It's about God's love for us. But this verse in particular is about Christ. The only way we can truly enjoy today and enjoying our lives is by accepting Christ as our Savior. Into our hearts, opening our hearts to Him. That's what God wants. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to have a relationship with me. He wants to fill us with His joy. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Lord. So there's an old song that hopefully some of you guys know it. We've sang it before. But I would ask for you to help sing it a cappella. This is the day. And as we both cry, I'm crying happy tears because I am so grateful for what God does in the struggle and in the pain and in the challenges of life. There is that hope. There is that hope that we can lean on. And so in those times that we don't see where God is, just step outside. Just look around. God is everywhere. His creation is everywhere. And His blessings are there. His blessings are new every morning. Isn't that right? Thank you, Lord. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. That the Lord hath made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. Oh, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 This is the day the Lord hath made. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Brother Darren.
Thank you, brother. Hey, can you give me that matzo over there? There's one big matzo thing over there. Oh, you got that, Gary? Thank you, buddy. Awesome. Good word, man. I love that. Well, okay, so normally what we usually do here is we have some folks come up and do testimonies. Now, let me tell you something. It's always a fantastic time, so I actually look forward to it the most. Probably even of the whole year. Now, Gary has to help me because when it comes to communion, I usually need to be reminded. I love the Word of God and I love to teach the Bible because I know that it's inspired, and I know when I get that Word in me, it changes me, right? Doesn't it? It changes my heart, changes my attitude, changes my thinking, changes my life. That's what God's Word does when we not just hear it in our minds, but let it seep down into our hearts. That's what God does. And so Gary usually has to, Pastor, we haven't had communion. Let's get going. And so now this time was actually a little bit different because God said, I want you to do something different this outdoor service. And I was like, oh, okay, Lord, but you understand that this is my favorite time. And I get to hear everybody's testimony. Like, I want you to have communion as a body. And I thought, okay. And so Gary's like, so I mentioned it to Gary, and who's normally 100% on board with communion. He said, you know, this is a testimony time, Darren. This is the time I know. He's like, and so we both prayed about it, and then we both came back, and he's like, do you still feel like we should do communion? I said, you know, Gary, I really do. It's like, I think the Lord's saying the same thing to me, too. I prayed about it. I said, oh, God, thank you. So here's what we're going to do. In the Old Testament days, back in Exodus chapter 12, Jesus, one of the places that we went when we were in Israel, we're on this trip, is to the upper room. And so one of the places, this is where Jesus, again, whether or not it's the exact upper room or it's the same type, I'm not 100% sure on this particular site, but it's where Jesus celebrated the Passover. Do you remember before his death and his crucifixion? Right? They would celebrate the Passover lamb. Some of you guys know this and some of you don't. But in Exodus chapter 12, when it's so hard for me to talk with a cable, I'm just used to walking around. So when Exodus, back in Exodus, what happened, Exodus chapter 12, they've been celebrating, Jews today celebrate the Passover, all these for about 3,000 years they've been celebrating the Passover. And what that celebration is a celebration of freedom from bondage, from slavery, if you will, right? From the world's ways, in the Bible, Egypt is usually a symbol of the world, right? And their freedom from that bondage and slavery, they're slaves in Egypt, to the freedom and to the promised land. And so that is a picture for us, for the future, and that they would celebrate with the Passover lamb. You guys remember the story. All the Jews back then, they were slaves, and God was telling Pharaoh, right? Their gods to let the people go, and they wouldn't do that. You remember that story, right? And you remember they sent one plague after another, and they would not let God's people go until finally what happened? What was it?
Firstborn.
The firstborn, the angel of death. That's right. And you remember what they had to do? God told them to celebrate this Passover feast and to put the blood of the what? The blood of the lamb, right? On the lintel and the doorpost, right? The outline of a cross. And that whoever had the blood of the lamb over the doors of their home, they would be saved from death. And if you remember the story, that was the final straw. The angel of death came. Anybody who did not have the blood of the lamb on the door of their home, right? Their firstborn was killed. And those who did have the blood of the lamb, they were saved. You remember that story. And that finally got them to let them go. Now, when they celebrate Passover today, they bring in lots of stuff. Jews still celebrate it today. And they bring different stuff. They've got greens. Some of you know this. That means life. They've got bitter herbs. Remember, like horseradish. It's kind of like the wasabi of the Jews. And they would eat horseradish and bring tears to that. Remember of the bitterness. They have salt water that reminds them of the tears that they shed in slavery and all this stuff. They no longer do a lamb, right? Nowadays, because if you remember, the sacrifices are no longer held there. Titus in 70 AD came and destroyed that temple. It's gone. You can see in Rome, I shouldn't even get into this. You can see pictures in Rome of them, of Titus. They've got it. Titus's arch. We've got pictures of it. We were there. And they were carrying back, you see the menorah and the tables of showbread and the trumpets. You see them carrying it back all these years. Historically true. Okay? And then since then, now they have a lamb bone, like a shank, on that Passover table. And then they have two other things. They have a couple other things. They have an egg that represents a sacrifice and things like that. But two of the most important parts is the bread. that we're going to share today. Now, one of the reasons why we share it is if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I want you to partake in this bread. Okay? Because Jesus said, "This is my body," at this Passover, right? They're celebrating this Passover. He holds up the bread, right? And if you might notice, it almost looks like a cracker, for those of you who don't know, right? It's unleavened bread. That means there's no yeast. And yeast in the Bible represented sin. And so he said, "This is my body, the sinless, spotless lamb," right? And if you notice some neat things about this bread, all months is the same. Did you celebrate with this, right? If you notice a couple of things, because they so want it to be unleavened and so want it to be free of that the leaven of sin, they pierce this bread. I don't know if you can see it from here, but it's got holes in it. So they take this unleavened bread and they pierce it. Interesting. Does that remind you of everything? Of anything? Not only that, but I don't know if you can tell from this, but there are also stripes in it, right? There are stripes in every single one of these. By his stripes you are healed. So every piece of unleavened bread, right, is striped, it's pierced, and it's unleavened. And yet he said, "This is my body, broken for you." And he broke it, right, in pieces, and gave it to his disciples. And they partook of the same loaf. And that's Jesus Christ. That's a picture for us. Not only that, are you ready for this? The Jews still celebrate this today. They'll take three pieces of bread, and they put it in this matzah tosh. It's a matzah bag. And they have three pieces, right? It's called the unity bag, and they put three pieces in there, okay? And they always debate on what that is. To me, it's so clear. It's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what they do, check this out. You guys might not know this. They take the centerpiece, right? And they'll take it, and you know what they'll do? They'll wrap it in a linen cloth. And I think that's called the apikomen, if I remember correctly. They'll wrap that middle piece in a linen cloth. And if you ask them, "Why do you take out that center piece? Why do you wrap it in a linen cloth?" You know what they'll say to you? "I have no idea." They don't have any idea to this day. But here's what they do. Maybe this will sound familiar to those of you who are saved. They'll take that middle piece. They'll wrap it in a linen cloth called an apikomen. Then they'll go and they'll bury it. Huh. Isn't that interesting? And then what will happen? The children will go and search for that. And they'll bring that broken piece of bread, that middle, back to the family. And that's central, right? And then they'll break off pieces of that particular matzah and all share it together. Jesus broke his body for us. Is that not amazing? He is not only the bread. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Not only that, but the Lamb of God. Did you know that Jesus came in on Lamb Selection Day? He was the sinless, spotless Lamb. Is that not amazing? At that time, when they were sacrificing for the sins of Israel, Jesus was sacrificed for all of our sin. And whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Is that not amazing? Not only that, but they took the cup, which I think is also amazing. And if you guys, I don't know who's going to be handing out the communion. If you guys could start passing that out, that would be great. And I don't know if we're ready with a song. I don't know if we have a song for this. We did? Okay. And then he also did something really neat while this was being passed out. There are four cups, okay, in a Jewish Passover Seder. And Seder just means order. And so as Jesus is celebrating this, right, he's saying, "This is my body." He's saying, "I'm the Lamb," right? That was slain. He takes these four cups. The first cup is the cup of sanctification. Then the second cup is the cup of plagues. Remember the plagues in Egypt. And then he takes the third cup. And the third cup, this is when he held it up. And he said, "You know what?" He says, this cup is the cup of my blood. And you know what that cup is called? That cup that Jesus said, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins," right? For everlasting life. This cup. Do you know what that cup is happening? The last one was called the cup of plagues. This cup was called, guess what? the cup of redemption. So he holds up this cup of redemption and says, this is my blood shed for you to forgive your sins. He's saying, I've redeemed you. When Nathan is up here saying that we should have joy, that's because of Jesus Christ, because of the blood shed for us, because I've partaken of that cup of redemption. And that has cleansed me from all my sins. So as this Passover Seder is looking towards the past, it also looks to the future. And it cleansed me from all my sins. I'm not the same person I used to be. I am born again. Hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen?
Amen.
That's a life changer. And you know what else? That makes me want to sing. It makes me want to shout praises. And you know, after he broke the bread and he gave it to his disciples and said, I want you to partake of it together. And after he took that cup, he said, I want you to partake of it together, that cup of redemption. Not only that, but the last cup, you know what that's called? It's called the cup of praise. Because we are redeemed, looking forward. Now, the Jews are still looking for the Messiah. In fact, they do something that kind of is sad. It breaks my heart. They leave a chair open at this time when they're drinking the cup of redemption and the cup of praise. They're looking forward to the future. They're still waiting for the Messiah, which we know is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. And they leave a chair open for Elijah. And then they go and they open the door. And they say, hey, you know what? We're waiting. Go open the door. And we're waiting for him to come in. But we know that John the Baptist already came, the spirit and power of Elijah. We know that just like Nathan said in Revelation chapter 3, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock at the door of your heart. And he says, if you'll open it, what does he say? I'll do. What does he say? He'll come in. That's right. There's an action. There's a choice, Nathan said. You have to choose it. He's not going to barge down the door of your home and put the blood of the Lamb there. You have to allow that to be happen. You have to choose. I'm taking the blood of the Lamb and I'm receiving that for the redemption, the forgiveness of my sins. And I would urge you to do that today. It's not about going to church. It's not about youth groups and just that all. It's about Jesus Christ saving me from my sins. And then here's the cool thing. Here's the cool thing. If you will knock on the door, and if you'll let him in, and you'll allow the blood of the Lamb, right, death will pass over you. You can have joy eternally, not just now. There might be bitterness and hardships in life, but God has got you covered by the blood forever, for all eternity. You don't have to wait. Salvation with Jesus starts now and lasts for eternity. He is your provider. That's an amazing, amazing thing. That's our God. That's our Savior, Lord. And he says, if you let me in, I'll come in and I'll sup with you and you with me. You'll partake of me, my body and blood, and I'll give you everlasting life. Death will pass over you. That's an amazing gift. All you have to do is receive it. Receive it. Repent. Ask him to come in, to do whatever it takes in your heart and life to help you to be like him. Listen, as we partake in this communion, I'd like you to bow your heads just for a second. And we're going to take this body and blood, and then I'm going to ask just our worship team to play one last song, and then Gary will come up here and say what we're going to do with the food that we have to eat here. Lord, as we take this body together, I just pray, Lord God, that as each one of us holds that little cracker in our hand, that matzah, Lord, we'll remember that you were bruised for our transgressions. By your stripes we're healed eternally, Lord God. That you were pierced for our transgressions. All of our sin went upon you, Lord God. And yet you shared yourself with us, Lord. To as many as received you, to them he gave the right to become children of God, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As we take this bread, let us remember your body, Lord, that was given for us. Your life that was lived for us, Lord God. Let's take it together. In Jesus' name, thank you. Thank him in your hearts as you take that bread. Now we're going to take that cup. And I want you to remember that you're taking the cup of redemption.
He said, this is his blood shed for you personally. That's amazing. It's amazing. And as you partake in this cup, remember what he did for you so that all your sins, past, present, and future, to tell a story, it is finished. It is paid for in full. Would you take this cup and would you just thank him for the blood he shed, this cup of redemption, and just praise him in your heart as you're drinking. Just thank him and praise him. Thank you. Thank you for the blood shed for you. Receive him. Open that door. And if you've done that, you can either sing with us or just pray as the worship team leads us in this last song. We're just going to praise because we have a living Messiah who has been raised again from the dead and lives today. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. In Jesus' name, we praise you.
prayer that in all we do, we would honor you. Your word says, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of the Lord. Let's do that this morning.
Okay. Oops.
There we go. Okay, here's the way we have the food set up. We have hot dogs, hamburgers, and the best pulled pork this side of heaven, right here, near the smoker. And that sides, including pastas and hot dishes and vegetables and all of that, are the seven tables on the right. Seven tables on the left are desserts and drinks. And then the snack-type foods are out here. And then we'll be set up here in just a couple of minutes. We'll have bounce houses and something I understand is a jousting pit. And that will be in the back. So let me ask a blessing on this meal. Father, I know my job here is to thank you for the food that we're about to eat, Lord, and I do that. I am grateful that you provide for our physical needs. But today we've been reminded that that our Savior is truly the bread of life. The food that we take, the nourishment we take in communion is permanent. It lasts forever. We don't get hungry pangs again. And so, Lord, we do thank you. We thank you so much. There's nothing that we can say that's sufficient. But we are thankful. In the name of our blessed Savior Jesus, all God's children said, amen.